It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you very much for being with me on this, the last Sunday of August. Tomorrow morning, September 1st, and the beginning of so many hunting seasons in America, dove season and throughout most of the northern latitude states. So I want to start with that for a second and kind of just interesting how life changes. Decades ago, and unfortunately a lot of decades ago, I used to just thrill for the opening of dove season. Of course, in Illinois, then it started at noon. Now you can start it before the sun comes up. That changed many years ago. But dove season was a big deal, and it still is a big deal, but things have changed. So decades ago, groups of us would try to draw for dove hunting spots at Green River or up at Chain of Lakes or Marseilles, or we would drive all the way down to Vandalia to hunt at public lands down there. There was a group of 10 to 15 of us that would literally travel the state for the opening of dove season and the couple days around it, going wherever the reports were best, standing in line, hoping to get a draw. I remember years ago at Marseilles, standing with a friend on a very, very hot September 3rd, and we had gotten into the field. Shooting's time began at noon. We were where we were supposed to be at 11:30, and at 5 minutes of 12, an individual came and basically stood with us. And we asked him if he could maybe give us a little bit of space and maybe go 100 yards either way. And we were pretty much told that he had been hunting there for years at Marseilles. He had never seen us before. This is where he always hunted. And if we didn't want him to be shooting, we didn't want to be shooting with him, we needed to move. And that kind of put a real damper on my experience, at least at Marseilles. Other areas have pegs marked out or stakes where you stand in Illinois. And some of you listening, wherever you may be listening around the country this morning, think, well, I don't have that kind of thing to deal with in my state. But public dove hunting in Illinois is very popular, thankfully. Lots of people like to do it. We do actually in Illinois have very good dove hunting opportunity. Depends on how the crops matured from one year to the next. But by and large, of all the public hunting opportunity Illinois has, I would say dove hunting in Illinois is among the best of its public hunting opportunities. Not a lot of money is spent on it, but there is great opportunity when you consider it compared to duck hunting in Illinois, where there are goose hunting, where there's lots of opportunity, but sometimes not a lot of quality. Dove hunting in Illinois tends to be pretty high quality at the state areas. So I remember those years when we were year after year, groups of us would try to draw for spots we could go, or we'd stand in line, and there was always such great anticipation. Here we are in 2025, and my anticipation is I'm going dove hunting with my daughter. What a change. And I think a lot of you listening are you're thinking the same thing. And if you're just joining the sport of dove hunting, you may not be so excited about taking somebody hunting with you to shoot at the doves you want to shoot. But if you've done this for a while, there's no greater joy than taking a child or a kid dove hunting with you. First of all, it's warm. It's not like duck hunting where you're going to potentially be cold. It's not like deer hunting where you got to sit still and don't move. With dove hunting, the weather is generally pretty nice, sometimes too nice, too warm. And there's generally action. Things are flying around. And if doves aren't flying around at any moment, there might be a dragonfly or there's butterflies. It's just beautiful, you know, late summer, early fall weather. So for me, the idea of being able to go dove hunting with my daughter is much more exciting at this point than the idea of my going dove hunting with a bunch of my friends, even though I like my friends a lot. And so I think probably a lot of you feel the same way. What a thrill it is to have a child, and in my case, my daughter's now a young adult, but to have a child that says, "Dad, I don't have to work on Labor Day. Can we go dove hunting?" And realize that maybe in a small way, you've done something right in life to have a child or grandchild that wants to go hunting with you or go fishing with you. And in my case, those of you who have listened to me for the past 25 years, you know that bird hunting and fishing and hunting in general is a huge part of my life. And a lot of my life has been spent with taking kids into the outdoors. And I believe so strongly in the next generation, hunting and fishing and enjoying the opportunity to do the things that we have done. So when my daughter said to me, "Hey, Dad, let's go dove hunting together," I literally dropped any plans I had to go dove hunting with a group of guys to go to where someplace where I can take my daughter and I can sit with her, and she can, as far as I can shoot concerned, she can shoot all 12 doves. And I realized she's saying, no, the limit's 15. Well, the place that I am fortunate to be able to go, they have set the limit at 12, and it's been that way for a long time. 12 doves is a lot of doves. Yes, it's three less than 15, but it's still plenty of doves. And so the thought for me of spending the opening day, no, it will not be at dawn. It'll be early afternoon at the appropriate time to go dove hunting, in my view, with my daughter sitting on a stool in a cornfield with maybe some sunflowers harvested in front of us, or maybe some wheat that's been harvested, and hoping that a dove or two comes by is the most special thing I could think of, dove hunting. I don't need to shoot 12 doves or 15 doves by myself anymore. That's not the motivation. It's much more fun to watch the thrill of a child, particularly your child, who stands up and maybe misses and laughs or shoots a dove, and then helping them clean it and prepare it for dinner. That passing of the torch is so important, and it's such an essential element, I guess, of those of us who've grown up and hope that our kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews or young friends we know want to do the things that we want to enjoy. So tomorrow, or sometime during the first week of dove season when the hunting is generally best, maybe you can grab a child. Maybe it's your own. Maybe it's a grandchild. And go sit on a dove stool with them and let them have the fun of shooting and help them understand and learn and become the next generation of people who carry on the traditions that we have carried on, that many of us inherited from our parents. So I know that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow morning, and I can't wait. I cannot wait to do it. So before I go to a break, there's something else I want to talk to, and it's as far away from Illinois as about you can get, and that is Nova Scotia. The drought is so bad in northern New England and on into Canada. In the case of Nova Scotia, the premier of Nova Scotia has announced that you may not leave the main roads of Nova Scotia to go hiking in the woods. And if you are caught hiking or fishing on state or provincial property in Manitoba, you will be fined substantially. They are so concerned about the outbreak of wildfires. And so here we are at the end of the year when Nova Scotia actually is a destination place for a lot of people, because it's just so spectacularly beautiful late August and in September. And all of a sudden, if you're in Halifax, you got to stay in Halifax. You got to stay on a paved road. You got to stay on a regular road. You cannot leave a road to go on a trail and hike, bike, fish, camp. That's how bad the drought is. It'll break. They'll get lots of snow and they'll get lots of rain. And maybe, you know, in a couple of weeks, a hurricane will dump on them and it'll all be over. But in the meantime, northern New England's as dry as it's been in a very long time. So if you were planning to go to Nova Scotia, I'm giving you a heads up. You might want to go another year, because you're not going to get off the beaten path. When I come back, I'm going to talk about a tick, and it's something that we all should have our radar up on. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of America and Chicago on 720 WGN Radio. And now a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Some very disturbing news. And I don't say this to alarm you, but I say it to have your, I guess, to be aware. A couple days ago, August 20th, there was a healthcare alert released about ticks. And I'm going to talk about a tick that has moved its way across the country and is now in the upper Midwest. It's throughout the South, New England, and it is causing something that we never thought possible. It's called the alpha-gal syndrome, and it's transmitted by the Lone Star tick. The Lone Star tick is a tick that comes from Texas. It's got a little white dot on it. And the alpha-gal syndrome creates severe allergies to meat and dairy products that can last for years. No, I'm not making this up, and some of you may have heard of it. I was made aware of this years ago when individuals in Virginia started to talk about this tick that was making people really sick. Well, as always happens, these things spread. So the condition of the alpha-gal syndrome, which is transmitted by the Lone Star tick, essentially forces people, you're not going to believe this, to adopt vegan-like diets, with some patients actually experiencing life-threatening reactions to even the smell of cooking meat. The Lone Star tick, which is identifiable by a small white dot on the female's back, is most common from Maine to Florida, but it now is also moving through the Midwest, and it lives primarily in wooded and grassy area. These ticks carry a sugar molecule, which is where the name comes from, called alpha-gal, that when transmitted to humans, causes a severe allergic reaction to mammalian products. Think about this. You're walking in the woods, and please don't stop walking in the woods because of you listening to this show. You're walking in the woods, and you get bitten by one of these. As many as 450,000 people in the United States now may have it. And it's a new tick variety. Not the tick's not new, but this illness is new. So the reactions can be so severe that once you have this, the smelling of even hamburgers on a grill can cause some people to go unconscious. The syndrome affects everyday items containing animal byproducts, lip balm, lotions, some bottled waters. It can cause hives, coughing, and wheezing. And the cases have become so widespread in Martha's Vineyard that there now is a special alpha-gal menu that's available in Martha's Vineyard only for people who have them. Imagine this. So the tick is with us now. It's not going away. Tick Lyme, we've talked about for years. Tick Lyme can have all kinds of different reactions for people. Generally, it makes you very lethargic and tired. But this tick, this white spotted Texas tick, and the alpha-gal syndrome, the Lone Star tick, alpha-gal syndrome is real. So I'm not saying that to put the fear of any of it in anybody. We're all going to go outside. We're going to enjoy the great outdoors. But we need to be vigilant. Ticks have mutated over time. Tick Lyme is a very serious disease, virus. This is just horrific in that it actually makes you allergic to mammalian products. No meat, eggs, any of these kinds of things, as far as I understand it. So it's another thing that we've just got to watch out for. The medical community is beginning to understand it, but it's real. So in the next couple minutes that I have left, next minute or so, I just want to talk for a second about firefighters. The U.S. Forest Service leads the way every year in fighting forests, and they are now finding that firefighters working for the U.S. Forest Service need to wear the same kind of masks that firefighters who go into your apartment building or into a house or into a warehouse to put out a fire are wearing. And part of the issue is that it's the country that firefighters work in is not the same as working in an urban area, and the heat that they work in and the conditions are different. But the pollutants seem to be every bit as bad. And so now firefighters who very seldom have worn the kind of protective masks that a firefighter would wear in an urban environment, they're beginning to wear them when fighting forest fires. Particularly this comes out of the Palisades fire in California, where so many toxins were in the air. So our firefighters that help put out these mega fires in the American West, and we've got some more underway right now, not only do they do a heroic deed, but they also put themselves in the way of really toxic materials. And more of them are wearing masks, and we should support them in doing so and support the U.S. Forest Service in their efforts to try to have our forest firefighters be in the safest conditions possible. In the time I have left, one more story, and it's a happy story. It's a story of a lady by the name of Tracy Brandenburg of the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation and an award she received. She leads McGraw's Pepper Family Center for Conservation Education. And she and the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation were presented with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources Volunteer of the Year Award at the State Fair just a few weeks ago. Why? Because Tracy Brandenburg has taken more students through hunter education in Illinois than anybody in the state, and perhaps more than all of the state volunteers put together. She has had over 4,000 students come through her hunter education courses at McGraw, 4,000 students. And not only that, she was one of the leaders with McGraw in getting hunter safety field days in Illinois. The field days are designed to provide participants who take an online safety course with hands-on experience. She also, with McGraw, was one of the pioneers in the country of getting online hunter safety. So Tracy Brandenburg has dedicated a lot of her life to the future of children in the outdoors, running McGraw Center for Conservation Education, and she properly was recognized as the lead hunting education instructor in Illinois, not just this year, but for many years. Imagine training and exposing over 4,000 kids to hunter education. Well done, Tracy. Well done, McGraw. And the future of hunting certainly depends on people being able to take hunter safety classes and being able to take so in the easiest manner possible, and Tracy has made that possible. So that's on a happy note. Have a great week and a great outdoors coming up. And if you're going dove hunting tomorrow or this week, hopefully you'll take a child with you, son, daughter, grandchild, and have a great time. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.